Worldview Radio and WVW-TV is made possible because of listeners like you. Thank you so much for your tax-deductible contribution that you can make at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com or by calling 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also send your tax-deductible contribution via check to WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for helping make possible Worldview Radio and WVW-TV broadcasts.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
You guys are with us today, and I want to thank all of you for the birthday wishes. I'm not going to be able to respond to every one of those. I wish I had time to sit maybe on the porch or patio in the sun and do that, but producing 4 hours a day of live television, it's all I can do just to keep up with that. But I do want to thank all of you for the birthday wishes today, 54 today. And as my wife reminds me, hun, it's just a number. It's the number. Right. Well, if that's how she deals with it, okay. I did get some good birthday presents. I bought one or two for myself. I really didn't buy them as a birthday present. I bought them just because I wanted them, and they happened to show up on my birthday. So I'll consider it a birthday present myself. Have you guys seen these advertisements where you can take your family photos and have them blown up? And then they put them on plexiglass. They're actually like made into the plexiglass. Is that how you say it? But it's you don't need a frame. You don't need a frame. You just hang it up, and it has that clean shine. And you could obviously spray it with some cleaner and keep it clean. So anyway, I love having my home filled with photographs of, you know, family memory. And so I didn't know if this company was going to do a good job or not. You never know, right? So you load the photos up there, and it says excellent quality, you know, or poor quality. I thought that's kind of a cool tool. So it tells you if the picture is going to be a really, really good quality or really, really poor quality, and you can decide, no, I better not do that picture. You go find one that's really high quality or go back to the original picture. And so I loaded some of my favorite ones of the kids and Melissa and I, a couple pictures of me and President Trump together, and a couple pictures of me and President Trump and Mike Lindell together. And so I ordered a few to see if they actually were quality. And they showed up today. And it was so fun to unwrap those on my birthday. And my wife, of course, she's got to sign off on it. And she was really impressed. She's like, wow, those are really quality. So I didn't know when I ordered it. It was coming from overseas. I thought it was a company here in the U.S. So I got really nervous when I found out. Oh, A, I may never see it, and B, it may not be any good. But they were beautiful, and so it's fun to take pictures and then of the kids when they were little, and when they're older too, and Melissa and I, and then blow them up and hang them on the wall. So I bet a lot of you are into that too now. Technology is amazing what you can do now, isn't it? So those came this morning, and I unwrapped those and said, you know what, I'll just say this is my birthday present. But I think I've got a strawberry cake on the way from a friend of ours that makes me a strawberry cake every year. She made this strawberry cake for us when General Flynn was here. He enjoyed it so much. The next day he came back, She made another one because he's like, are you going to have that strawberry cake? Is that lady going to make strawberry cake? I said, if you want strawberry cake, we'll have strawberry cake. So she makes all of us in the family a strawberry cake every year. If you guys remember my house to house show that my wife and I did, one of them is her making that strawberry cake. So I hear there's a strawberry cake on the way, which is just amazing, particularly if you cut a piece and warm it up for about, well, in the oven or microwave, warm it up. It's really good. And then I think my wife is making, I've cut out sugar about 2-3 months ago, maybe 3 months ago, I cut out. And I use a lot of honey, but I cut out sugar. And, but I'm gonna break that fast of sugar for today. And I said, my mother always made me an angel food cake. And she made it with that, and my grandmother did too. I mean, I think it's an old Southern, maybe folks up north made it too, but I know it's really popular in the South. It's a special kind of white frosting that you put on the angel food cake, and then it gets hard. It gets hard after, you know, you let it sit there, set up. But anyway, my mother used to make that. My grandmother used to make that. Something else my grandmother, so I've asked my wife for one of those, so we had to email my mother to find this frosting that I like. I haven't had that in a while. So she's making that. She said to me this morning while I was shaving, do you still want that cake? You have a strawberry cake on the way. I said, yeah, I want both of them. So I won't eat all of them. I'll have a slice of one and one. And I'm not a big sweets guy, so they better share it with some other people, because otherwise I'll eat a piece and that'll be it. And it'll go to waste. So she'll share it with all the guys in the control room, I'm sure. My grandmother, it reminded me, when I would show up at my grandmother's house here in Tennessee as a kid, she used to often, one of the first things we would do is run into the kitchen to see if she had made an angel food cake. And most times she indeed had just made an angel food cake. It was on the counter. And she also made boiled custard. Now, I don't know how many of you have had boiled custard, and I don't know how you make your boiled custard. But my grandmother could make some amazing boiled custard. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, there you go. But thank you to all of you for the birthday wishes. Appreciate it very, very much. And like I said, I wish I had time to respond to all the great texts and emails coming in. But thank you, guys. All right. I've been promising you now for better than a week, we would talk about and read some of what was in my book that I wrote back in 1993, An Educational Abduction, Cradle to College, An Educational Abduction. And it's interesting to go back and read some of these things, because what it shows us is this has been a long march through the institutions, just as communist, Italian communist, what was his name? Italian communist Antonio Gramsci. See, I might be 54, and sometimes the hard drive gets a little slow, and I have to wait for it to catch up. Italian communist Antonio Gramsci talked about the long march through the institutions, right? Some of you are saying, if you think you're having problems with that at 54, buddy, you wait till you're 74 or 84. By the way, I think I have something for that, too. This NAD. So I've got some NAD on the way. I'll let you know how that turns out. NAD, I guess, is like amazing for the brain. But anyway, that's another story. But I am going to try that, see if that boosts the brain power. Antonio Gramsci, the Italian communist, called it a long march through the institution. And that's what they've done. You know, you have to at least acknowledge that the globalists, the Marxists, they're patient. And they're committed. They're patient. They're committed. And they know what they believe. And they know why they believe it, most of them. Now, I'm not talking about just the average American that follows them as just mindless drones. But the leaders of these movements, they know what they're doing. Many of them have a very clear worldview. They know what they're doing. They know what their worldview is. They know what the values are that stem from that worldview. They know what policies and actions that produces. They know what they're doing. And they know, listen now, they know that they may not see the fulfillment of their goals in their lifetime. But they're committed to the long march through the institutions. Now, many of them are indeed demonically inspired. They're demonically energized. But they don't quit. They don't give up. Even when Jimmy Carter lost to Ronald Reagan, they didn't give up. That was a trouncing. And then, of course, Mondale running against Reagan. Reagan won every state but what? Minnesota, his home state. Mondale won his home state, and I think the District of Columbia. In those 8 years, they didn't give up. They kept marching. Now, I don't know that we can say that for our side. What do you think? I don't think most of our leaders are very committed. I think many of them are very, very pragmatic. I think they blow with the wind. They blow with the times. The left, they're willing to stand for the craziest things against the cultural stream. They're willing to proclaim, promote, and push that which they know is against the worldview and values of the majority of Americans, but they do it anyway. They have the audacity to do it anyway. The insanity to do it anyway. We, on the other hand, collectively saying we, conservatives, Christians, evangelicals, constitutionalists, so many of us, oh, he can't say that. That's too controversial. Oh, he can't say that. That's too controversial. How? I can't believe he said that. It's so controversial. You know how many times I hear that? From people that should know better. You don't say that on the air, do you? You don't really publicly voice that opinion, do you? Like, yeah, why would I not? It's the truth, right? Yeah, but it sounds so harsh. Well, it's the truth. Deal with it. They, on the other hand, as you're about to see and hear, promote things that are totally against what the majority of Americans want or believe. I'm talking about going back to the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. And yet they promote it anyway because it's their agenda. And they're not sticking their finger in the air and saying, well, which way is the wind blowing? We'll get on board with whatever way the wind's blowing. No, they are the wind. They get the wind going the direction they want. They take control of the cultural stream. And you see it. We can see how they have reversed the cultural stream going back. Now, I'm in my lifetime here, folks, 54 today. So you're going to have to bear with me. I'm thinking and pondering on these things through my life view. But growing up on Monday nights, you know, you get your bath and you sit in front of the television at 8 o'clock, NBC, waiting for Little House on the Prairie to come on. I think it was Monday nights. And, of course, our parents and most of the people in this audience, their parents were happy to have them sit in front of the television and watch that broadcast on NBC because it embodied the values that they were teaching in their home. Mom and dad, married, loved each other, wholesome values, family values. Marriage was respected. The father was greatly respected and admired, not only by his wife and children. I mean, Charles Ingalls, being played by Michael Landon, was adored by his wife and children in that series. They adored him. But not only that, the community, they loved him. And whenever there was a problem, that was one of the first people they went to was Charles Ingalls. Because he could be counted on to be compassionate. But if necessary, to have righteous indignation and step up to the plate and deal with the problem as a man. And his masculinity, yet his tenderness, and you guys all know, if you grew up watching Lost in the Prairie, it was not uncommon for him to get choked up and cry and this to be in this series. So he was presented as a compassionate man, but you also knew you didn't want to mess around with him. He was prone to punch someone in the face or to manhandle them if necessary. and he was known for having a fiery temper when you crossed a certain moral line, right? He wasn't a hothead, but he had righteous indignation. Now, I'll tell you when I come back how they flipped the cultural stream on us. Don't go away. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Alcohol and drug abuse is rampant in our society today. Regardless of your age, your income, your politics, or your religious beliefs, we have many families suffering. And many families are wonderful, conservative, Christian families. But they're not immune to the pain and suffering that comes from those who get addicted to drugs or alcohol. As you know, I hold my national conference every year at Lake of the Ozarks. I got the chance to know Chad and Katie. They have a clinic called New Spring Wellness Center. The website's newspringwellnesscenter.com. Chad is a very successful businessman, but he struggled for several years with a drinking problem. His wife, Katie, found a clinic, well, about 11 hours from their home, drove him to the clinic. He didn't want to go. He thought it sounded kind of goofy. And he went through what is known as NAD treatment or IV treatment to receive NAD. You can find out more about it at their website, newspringwellnesscenter.com. Chad openly talks about how after going through this treatment for several days, the urge to drink disappeared. He no longer had the urge to drink. He's about 7 years now successfully off alcohol. As a businessman and a person who is strongly committed to the Christian faith, he decided that this was going to be his way to help others achieve the same success in life and have hope as he received from the treatment. So he started New Spring Wellness Center. Katie, well, she answers the phone. If you'd like to talk to them right now for a free consultation, you can go to newspringwellnesscenter.com. But better yet, why don't you just call and talk to Katie? That number is 573-693-1977. 573-693-1977. NewSpringWellnessCenter.com or 573-693-1977. Ben says, you're making me so hungry talking about strawberry cake, your mother's boiled custard. Will you be posting the recipes, perhaps a worldview recipes? Perhaps also recipes by your wife, how to make a gourmet on pennies, on what you can round up. Well, I have my family has been pushing my wife to do a cookbook for years. So maybe one day she'll do those. That would be fun. But I think you're right. I think we should do another house to house soon. And I think we should make boiled custard. I'm going to put that on the list. We've already made the strawberry cake. If you go to WVWTV.com, I think you can even go out on YouTube and just type in house to house, H-O-W-S-E, house, my last name, to house, H-O-U-S-E. I think you'll find those episodes. Or just go to housetohouse.com, house to house, H-O-W-S-E, house to house.com. You'll find the one on strawberry cake. And the lady, Darlene, that makes that for every one of our family members gets a strawberry cake. You'll find the recipe for that. But, yeah, I think you're right. I think we need to do angel food cake with that special icing. And then boiled custard. So we'll work on that for a house to house. That's a great idea, Ben. All right, so I'm talking for the break about how the, again, thank you guys for all the birthday messages coming in. I want you to know I'm seeing them, but I can't respond to every one of them, but I definitely am seeing them. I'm talking about how the left doesn't give up. They don't quit. They keep going, even in the face of defeat for 8 years under Ronald Reagan. And they push things until they shift the cultural stream. They go against the cultural stream until they have control of the cultural stream. We, on the other hand, I say we collectively, conservatives, Christians, evangelicals, constitutionalists, are so timid. Oh, you can't say that. Oh, that's too harsh. Oh, that might offend somebody. And we self-censor. We self-censor. They're not self-censoring. I mean, if they are, it's very little. Because I got my book from 1993 here, and I was going through it the other day, and I've marked up some spots I'm going to get to here. And I'm thinking to myself, and it's kind of fun to go back and read my own books. I'm not bragging here, but I've written 14 of them so far, and not to mention the documentaries. And I can't remember everything in these books. And I don't use a ghostwriter, just mind you. Like most of your evangelical people out there, they all use ghostwriters. And I can tell you the names of the people that do, and you'd be shocked and disappointed. But I've never used a ghostwriter for my books. I write my own books. I do my own research. I write my own book. And maybe it shows in a negative way. I don't know. But I enjoy the research, and I enjoy the writing. But even though I wrote the books, I can't remember what I wrote in all 14 books going back since 1993. So when I read my own books sometimes, I'm like, wow, I forgot about that. I forgot about how in your face they were. Now, there's some things in this book, An Cradle to College and Educational Abduction, that I would not read on the air because it is sex ed curriculum, and I found some of it in North Dakota, and I even named the family in North Dakota that I had dinner with in their home who were fighting this, and I was doing my seminar up there in North Dakota, and the family had me over for dinner and with their kids, and I mentioned their family name in here because the mom and dad were really fighting this, and they're the ones that gave me the curriculum and said, this is what's in our school district. That would have been 1992 because the book came out in 93. And when I read it, I was like, I couldn't read that on the air. And yet that was in the schools. So we think all of this perversion that they're pushing today is new. No, it's not new. Is it more graphic? Is it a different type of perversion? Absolutely. But it's not new. They've been doing this the whole time, since at least the 60s and 70s. Really the 70s, this really kicked off. Until they get control of the cultural stream, and then they turn it a different direction. I mentioned watching Little House on the Prairie, or The Waltons, or Leave It to Beaver, or Father Knows Best, Bonanza. These fit within the cultural stream, right? You could not show, you guys all know this, you could not show Lucy and Ricky, Ricardo, on I Love Lucy, in the same bed together. They had twin beds, with a nightstand between them. And then eventually the censors finally let them push the beds together, but it was still obvious they were twin beds pushed together. And when Lucy, in real life, was expecting a child, the censors did not want the word pregnant used in the script. I think it was the show, I wasn't a fan of the show, but it was I Dream a Genie. They would not allow that actress to show her navel. The censors said, no, there are certain cultural standards and decorum. We're not crossing the line on that. Now, some people look at that today and they laugh and they think that's legalistic, it's old-fashioned. The point is, there was a cultural stream. And even those in Hollywood making movies, some of them who were traditional conservative people, some of them were themselves very conservative politically, socially, morally. They were, some of the producers and writers of some of these shows, they were decent moral people in that they weren't perfect, but they aspired to certain morality for their family, for their own children. Because I could tell you some stories, because I've gotten to know and hear some stories through the years from different people that know some iconic people out of Hollywood back in, you know, the 50s and 60s. And what they allowed and did not allow for their own family, their children, you know, they believed in some of these values in their own personal and family life. And these, some of these same values were reflected on their TV shows. But look how the cultural stream has changed. So we went from Lost of Prairie, the Waltons, where the father is respected, the father and the mother are married. There's a love of marriage and an honoring of marriage. There's family Christian values. The church is not ridiculed. In fact, the church in Lost of the Prairie, the reverend is not ridiculed. He's not made to be an idiot. He is an admired member of the community. And church is a big part of the show. Now, remember, this is airing prime time in the 1970s, early 70s, 74, I think it started, 73. This is airing on NBC prime time. You've got marriage being honored. You've got family being honored. You've got family values. You have Christian values. You have, for Laura Ingalls, the writer, and many of you know, if you go to my website, House to House, you'll see that Melissa and I went to the home of Laura Ingalls Wilder in Mansfield, Missouri, and did a couple shows. And that led me to wanting to do a little more research on her. She was more of a libertarian. She was not a fan of the federal government. Laura Ingalls Wilder was not a fan of the federal government. And Michael Landon carried some of those ideas over into Little House on the Prairie. So I think he also embraced some of those ideas related to small government and personal liberty and freedoms, because he incorporated them as the producer and as the writer. He incorporated some of those storylines into Little House on the Prairie. And you'll notice often, as I've said in past programs, the railroad is not looked on favorably in Little House on the Prairie. And I don't think the railroad was looked on favorably by Laura Ingalls Wilder. Not the conductor, not the train conductor, not the engineer, not those people. Those people were never featured in Little House on the Prairie as anything but hardworking people, right? What was not favored was the big corporations working in concert with government to steal people's property. Now, if you go back and you watch some of the Little House on the Prairie television shows, you will see shows that are showing you big government and big corporations working together to steal people's property with eminent domain. I don't know if most people picked up on some of the messages that were being sent. Think about that. Think of all the non-woke, anti-fascist policies, ideas, values that were being promoted. Marriage, family, a strong leader, a patriarchal family, how dare you? Religion, the Bible, the reading of the Christmas story, people going to church, incorporating their Christian worldview into their daily ethics of their family life, in their economics. Cash on the barrel head, Paul says. Cash on the barrel head. We don't like to go into debt. Occasionally they would put some, you know, items on credit at the mercantile, but he was always quick to want to get that paid off. Being out of debt, working for something they want to get, something they want to have, and he would work, and he would take on extra work to save the money to buy that extra thing for his wife or kids. Remember that? Working for something, obtaining something. All the values being taught. And Laura Ingalls Wilder was not a fan of the federal government. I learned that in researching her before we went to film there. And yet, as the cultural stream changed, now we have programs that ridicule marriage, ridicule traditional values, ridicule the church. The father's the idiot of the broadcast. He's ridiculed. Any religious person is a shyster, a scammer, a crook, a scoundrel. The free market certainly isn't mostly promoted at all as a positive. So at some point, the cultural stream changed, but these people were working against the cultural stream. And I say all that to say, look what was in the culture. Look what was on primetime television. And yet while these shows, and then you even have in the 80s, you have Bill Cosby. I'm not going to get into Bill Cosby and his personal life, but you have the Bill Cosby broadcast, the Bill Cosby show, even in the 80s, that was very successful, prime time, again, a married couple. He's a doctor, she's an attorney, They have children, and you see the respect and love of the father and the mother, and you see the generational respect for the parents, the grandparents, that's worked into the program, and you see a very much, I think, character of a black family carrying out their daily life. And of course, we know that Bill Cosby went on to make comments about asking young people to conduct themselves in a certain manner, pulling your pants up and different things he wanted them to do, and was very vocal about what he wanted to see changed in some of the black community. And he tried to portray a narrative on his show that I think was very, very well received by all people groups and families. Now, that was the 80s. Now, we've gone from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and we're seeing this common theme of marriage, family, values, strong father, work, right? But in the midst of all that, when I come back, I'm going to start sharing with you what they were still putting in their books in schools against the cultural stream. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Do you appreciate the free programming of worldviewradio.com, WVWTV.com, and the 24/7 television stream? Well, did you know that many of the cameras that you're watching right now, we were able to buy those because you went to MyPillow.com and used the promo code WVW? We were able to do away with our old cameras and go to 4K cameras several years ago, cameras we've been using for like 12 plus years. We were able to get brand new 4K cameras because so many of you went to MyPillow.com and you used the promo code WVW. Yeah, it really matters that much. If you want to help us to continue to grow WVW Broadcast Network with our programming, our live programs, our documentaries, as well as through our technology that's needed to keep all of it going, then here's an opportunity for you to help yourself and help us at the same time. Please consider going to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code WVW for deep savings and discounts. And every time you use that code, a generous percentage of each purchase comes back to keep the WVW Broadcast Network, Worldview Radio, and WVW TV going. So please, buy your sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, robes, mattresses, mattress toppers, and more at MyPillow.com. But it's vital that you use the code WVW. When you use that code WVW, a generous percentage of each purchase comes back to keep this 24/7 stream going and all the other programs that are on demand for free at worldviewradio.com and wvwtv.com. I cannot stress to you enough how vital it is that you support us and use that code. It does make a difference. So thank you for going to mypillow.com and using that code WVW. All right. So we know what the cultural stream is based on what was being put on primetime television. We got a real idea of the cultural stream and the popularity of the programs I've mentioned. Lost in the Prairie, The Waltons, Bill Cosby Show. These are showing, wow, this is what the people, they can relate to it or they can aspire to it. And their ratings were tremendous for these broadcasts. And in replay and reruns, right? But in the midst of what we know the culture largely is embracing and accepting and wanting and reverencing, here come the left, and they haven't stopped since they really got on fire in the 50s and 60s. Now, remember, this all started with the Frankfurt School coming to America around 1933, saying we're going to go after education and media, education and media, education and media. And this was going on since the 30s easily. But it really started gaining steam with the cultural revolution of the 60s, the counter-cultural revolution. And that's what Herbert Marcuse said. We're going to have a revolution that attacks the existing morality of the culture. And I've just been explaining to you the existing morality of the culture by what parents were willing to put in front of their children on primetime television on even stations like NBC, which is... You couldn't put your kid in front of TV shows on NBC now, most of them. But these people said, we don't care what the cultural stream is. We're gonna get control of the cultural stream. So while the right is running around self-censoring and apologizing and telling other people to be quiet, that's too controversial, that's too harsh, that's too controversial, whatever it might be, the left never did that. Here's an example. This is from my book in 1993. According to the Washington Watch newsletter, the Clinton administration, because this is in the early 90s, openly rejects qualified applicants for top federal positions because of race and gender. Homosexual applicants, however, are, quote, assured of special treatment by the openly gay deputy director of presidential personnel. The Washington Watch provides these startling facts. Quote, President Clinton has named to top positions in his administration two officials who have tried to destroy the Boy Scouts of America. Now, folks, back in 1992, 93, Boy Scouts was still an organization that many Americans held in high regard. But here's the Clintons naming two top positions of administration to two officials who have the goal of destroying the Boy Scouts of America. Lesbian radical Roberta Enkenberg of San Francisco and San Diego Schools Chief Thomas Payzant, P-A-Y-Z-A-N-T. They have used their power to expel the Scouts from public schools because the Boy Scouts of America refuses to admit homosexuals or allow them to guide young boys, end quote. Payzant was named Clinton's Assistant Secretary for Elementary and Secondary Education, and Enkenberg serves as Undersecretary of HUD. I write, it scares me to think what their agenda will be in these top-level government positions. Why am I so worried? The platform/action statement for the April 25th Gay March on Washington helps answer the question. Gay demands include, quote, repeal of laws prohibiting sodomy, end quote, provide, quote, information on abortion, AIDS, HIV, child care, and sexuality courses at all levels of education, end quote, and end, quote, discrimination based on sexual orientation in all programs of the Boy Scouts of America, end quote. Now, where are we at today? Now it's not just the promotion of homosexuality. It's the full LGBTQ thing. It's transgender surgeries. Hormone blockers. And now the United Nations comes out with a report calling for the decriminalization of sexual relations between adults and children. Now, how did we get there? We got there because we started to normalize. Well, first of all, we normalized and became, and I don't mean to offend people in the audience, but, I mean, things happen. But we as a culture normalized divorce. We made it so normal. Our laws became so, it was so easy to get one. You know, divorce at one time in this country was something that was not common. Many people growing up, my parents' generation, didn't know people that were divorced. They didn't know anyone that was divorced. My parents are in their late 70s and early 80s. And knowing someone that was homosexual, that was like totally unheard of. And it was not talked about. Just wasn't talked about. It wasn't what decent people talk about. And if it was going on, it was kept behind the scenes. It was not culturally acceptable. But divorce was not common at all. You just didn't know a lot of people that were divorced. And as the laws changed, and Phyllis Schlafly goes into this, with so much of her research, the feminists began to attack the family. The cultural Marxists attacked the family. They made divorce very, very easy. And they made sure the laws really came down hard on the men with no-fault divorce. No-fault divorce. And the point I'm making is we got where we are today because we devalued marriage. We devalued heterosexual marriage. When you devalue marriage, you open the door for any definition to be inserted for marriage. And we saw that in the 1990s, right? We saw people saying, if we normalize homosexuality and so-called homosexual marriages, do you know what that's going to lead to? And people said that's going to lead ultimately to the idea of normalizing marriage between siblings, first cousins. And eventually we're going to say, well, you could be married to multiple people. And, oh, by the way, eventually you could marry a child. And people ridiculed and laughed at how stupid that was. Oh, that's so stupid. It's so unsophisticated. Where are we at today? United Nations openly calling for decriminalizing prostitution, all kinds of drug use, sexual relations between adults and children. This is how you pull down society. You attack marriage. I write, in addition, the statement calls for an end to, quote, discrimination against youth, end quote. What does that mean? And I write, 1993, they want to lower age of consent laws for sex with children. They also seek to legalize same-sex marriages and adoption of children by gay couples. Remember that Thomas Pyance was named Clinton's Assistant Secretary for Elementary and Secondary Education. You say, so what? What's so terrible about a few homosexuals in high places? Once you read the plans they have for your children, you won't have to wonder any longer. Quote, and I forgot this was in my book. I referenced it last week, actually, a week before. Quote, we will sodomize your sons. We will seduce them in your schools, in your dormitories, in your gymnasiums, in your locker rooms, in your sports arenas, in your seminaries, in your youth groups, in your movie theater bathrooms, in your army bunkhouses. Isn't that going on? Transgender surgeries, operations in the military, in your truck stops, in your all-male clubs, in your houses of Congress, wherever men are with men together, they will come to crave and adore us. The family unit, listen now, they say, the family unit will be abolished. The family unit, which only dampens imagination and curbs free will, must be eliminated. All churches who condemn us will be closed. Our only gods are handsome young men, end quote. All churches who condemn us will be closed. How close are we, folks, with hate crime laws that would close churches, penalize churches, shut down Christian radio? I went on then in the book, I'm going to go several pages over, trying to help you understand how we got here. The frog, you know, in the proverbial kettle being boiled. December 14th, 1992, issue of Time magazine, there was an article called Jack and Jill. And it had to say this about the contents of a book that was being used in New York school. Remember the Children of the Rainbow curriculum? Heather's, Daddy's Roommate and Heather Has Two Mommies? Gloria Goes to Gay Pride? Remember that back in the early 90s, 1991, 92, how controversial that was? Why was that so controversial? Ask yourself, for those of you who remember, do you remember how controversial that was? Why was that so controversial? Today, it doesn't hardly make a blip on the radar because of what's become normalized. But then, that was all over the place. People of different political persuasions all said, that's not acceptable. Time magazine says, quote, Daddy's Roommate is a congenial children's book about a boy in a not-so-unusual position. His parents have divorced. The rest of the story is a bit more unconventional. His father's living with a new companion named Frank. The boy is told by his mother that Daddy and Frank are gay. Being gay is just one more kind of love, end quote. And, of course, what we said was, look, when they start promoting this idea is it's all about love. You know, it's all about love. It won't be long before they say, well, if it's all about love, then it doesn't matter what we're talking about, even if it's now an adult with a child. Don't forget about, listen now, Don't forget about the North American Love Boy Association, NAMBLA. The North American Love Boy Association. This is what this has been about in one part. Now, the left wants to keep those people pushed back there. And again, when these social norms were being destroyed, when these Judeo-Christian values were being destroyed within our culture, and many of us would speak up and speak out and say, this is what this will lead to. Remember how they would slap their knee and laugh and ridicule? No, that's not what we want. That's not what we want. It is not anywhere on our radar. They're lying to you. And I go in and I quote from these books. And then we have the PTA, the Parent Teacher Association. I remember this. They put out a pamphlet called The PTA's Guide to Extremism. The PTA's Guide to Extremism. Now, this was in the early 90s. Remember, this book came out in 93. And guess who they describe as extremist and compare to the Ku Klux Klan? Parents. Traditional parents objecting to these books. And they make them out to be book burners. You know, when I went to speak at the Hamilton County School District in March of 96, one of the PTA reps, and I have the newspaper framed, said that House is comparable to the extremist, comparable to the blacklisting of the 1950s and the Ku Klux Klan. Where did she get that? She got that from the PTA book on extremism, the little literature panel. She was just regurgitating it. Phone lines open. What are your thoughts? Hello, I'm Brandon House. Do you have food insurance? I'm sure you have car insurance, life insurance, house insurance, medical insurance. But what about food insurance? We saw after COVID just how vulnerable our just-in-time inventory is. We saw what happened to basics like soups, meat, paper towels, toilet paper. This again showed the fragile nature of our just-in-time inventory. In fact, we've now, since COVID, seen, well, what appears to be an orchestrated attack on our food and food processing plants. And then, of course, now the war on poultry, chickens. Well, we know that many of these things the elite do, they plan. And they plan it for one reason, control. A few years ago, I did a whole series on how they plan to control us. Food, finances, firearms, foreign invasion, family health care. I listed multiple F's that they can use to control us. One of them, of course, is food and finances. We talk about those things a lot. In fact, I think it was about 2020, the Rockefeller Foundation put out a document called Reset the Table, where they're talking about nationalizing our food industry. That sounds dangerous, doesn't it? Well, food is a great way to control people. And if you would like to have your own food insurance, as I've had for my family since 2013, then we invite you to go to WVWTVstore.com and check out the freeze-dried food we offer. It's actually really good. Tastes really good. You can get everything from a two-week kit to a 72-hour test kit just to try it out. Then you can get a three-month kit, 6 months, year, 2 year. If you do a 2 year or more, we advise you to use the phone and Libby will cut you a deal on shipping. So you can order online at WVWTVstore.com. That's WVWTVstore.com. Or by calling 901-468-9357. 901-468-9357. As I said, I've had emergency freeze-dried food for my family since 2013. I didn't mention it on the air until 2016. When I did, well, we got a lot of emails, texts, and phone calls. What'd you get? Where'd you get it? How do we get it? We thought, well, you know what? If our audience wants it, let's provide that service to our audience, and we'll use a reasonable profit in there to fund our broadcast network. And that's exactly what we've done. So I know you can purchase your emergency freeze-dried food from a lot of different sources. Thank you for purchasing it from us because we're able to provide you with a service, and it's a big part of our general operating budget to keep offering free radio shows and free TV shows. By the way, they're free to you, but not to us. We have to pay thousands and thousands of dollars a month in bandwidth bill to push out free programming. So if you appreciate that fact, please consider ordering your emergency freeze-dried food from us at WVWTVstore.com. That's WVWTVstore.com or by calling 901 901- 901-468-9357. 901-468-9357. With all that's happening in the world today, why would you not want your own food insurance? Thank you. 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. Very interesting that in the early 90s, here's the PTA, the Parent Teacher Association, saying that the extremists comparable to the Ku Klux Klan and the blacklisting of the 1950s, parents that stand for traditional values. And here's what they say. Extremists oppose many efforts to reform, change, or improve what exists in America, calling such efforts untrue to traditional American values. A disturbing group of extremists tries to manipulate religious values to oppose or support positions, end quote. I'll pick this up here tomorrow, but the point I'm making is this idea of labeling parents, traditionalists, Christians as racist, comparable to the Ku Klux Klan. This is, and now what do we have today? Full-on cultural Marxism. Full-on critical race theory. How did we get here? Because we as conservatives are so timid. I want you to hear what I'm about to say. Conservatives don't want to see the problem. They don't want to see the problem or confront the problem until they suffer, are being punished, and then they want a solution. Most conservatives, Christians, constitutionalists, however you want to describe them, do not want to confront a problem until they are confronting the consequences. They do not want to confront the problem until they're confronting, experiencing the consequences. Then they want to deal with it. Now they want to talk about cultural Marxism. The pro-family groups, most of them, none of them wanted to talk about these issues of cultural Marxism, communism. Communism, are you crazy? How's the Berlin Wall's fallen? They did not want to talk about Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, sustainable development. They didn't see it as important. They did not, as I deal in my book in 95, talking about mandating vaccinations, a vaccine tracking system that could be used to exterminate people. Go read it in my book in 95. Do you know how hard it was to talk about the dangers of vaccines in the 90s and 2000s? We got so much pushback and blowback from nurses and doctors that would call into the program or email. And isn't it something that most conservative so-called Americans do not want to confront the problem until they're suffering the consequences? And then it's too late. But not the left. They keep marching through the institutions, even when it seems like all of their fortunes are destroyed. With the election of Ronald Reagan for 8 years, they keep marching. Go to the phone line. Faith, line says line 54. I don't think we have that many lines, do we? Oh, it's a joke. Oh, it's because I'm 54. Okay, I got it. Sorry. Like, did we really get 54 lines? All right, Faith from Pennsylvania, thanks for calling in. Good one, Justin. Yes. Thanks for calling in, Faith.
Yes, and my first exposure to crosstalk was when Dick Dean presided over that station in Telford. Let me test my Spanish. Feliz cumpleaños. This is testing yours too, right?
Well, but remember, I got a D in high school Spanish.
Well, I think it's happy birthday.
I would have not known.
I could be wrong, though. My son teaches Spanish, but
yeah, well, let's hope you just said happy birthday, right?
Let's hope. I can relate to all those news stories thanks to Ingrid Schleter on Crosstalk many years ago.
Yes.
And Thomas Sowell, wow, he seems to have a lot of truth.
He does. And he was warning about a lot of this back in the early 90s in his books.
Yes, yes. I was just doing some YouTube about him. Boy, a lot of posts.
Yeah, and the left wanted to act like he didn't even exist because he didn't fit their narrative.
Oh, of course not.
Walter Williams, Thomas Sowell, they don't want to act like they exist.
Right. Yeah, and I like George Washington Carver, too.
Yes, absolutely. I just was flipping through a book about him the other day by Bill Federer. I was reading a book
I like
about
that
him the other day.
Yes, he's all very well informed. In fact, one more, here's a little news bite, if I haven't said it before. The, quote, colored people after the Civil War presented a Bible to President Lincoln.
Hmm.
And that's information from William Federer.
Excellent. Thank you, Faith. And by the way, don't forget also, many of the white churches after the Civil War helped the black congregants form their own churches because they wanted to have their own churches. They wanted their own music, their own culture. And it was the white churches that helped them form their own denominations and financially supported them and helped them get them going. You don't hear that in the textbooks, do you? Let's go to Doug in South Dakota. It's not line 54. Doug, go ahead. Thanks, Doug.
Yes, hi. Happy birthday.
Thank you, Doug.
Yes. I have a question. You're talking about all the TV shows we watched in the 50s and the 60s. Why did all the TV shows, like The Rifleman, Andy Griffith, My Three Sons, Beverly Hillbillies, and Bonanza, not have a wife and a mother in them?
And well, that's a good
question.
And there
were several other shows later on that didn't have a father in them, but there was a single mother.
Right. Well, I don't know. That's a very good question, but I'll tell you, at least when it came to My Three Sons, the mother had died. So it wasn't that marriage was being ridiculed. And then, of course, some of the characters in that program went on to get married, if you remember, and they were raising their little, I think they had triplets, if I remember correctly, raising triplets in the house. But you're right. That's a very good point. Robert from Milwaukee. Thanks for calling in, Robert.
Yeah, happy birthday to you, Brennan.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to you there, sir. And also, I just wanted to say, those shows that you were talking about, Andy Griffith, they had good moral value. All of those shows had moral value. And they had things that you can teach your children, and you can sit down and watch those shows with your family.
Yes. And today, you'd be embarrassed. Oh, I'm embarrassed by the commercials. Joan from Arkansas. If you go fast, Joan, we'll get you in. Joan from Arkansas.
Okay, happy birthday, and I want to say your program is excellent today as usual, and the Christians today are just as passive and hurtful to the Christian faith as they were in the 80s when we started homeschooling. You didn't get support in the church even. We were only two homeschool families in a real big Baptist church, and they didn't want to go along with it, and
I remember that, Joan. I remember how uncommon it was and how some of those families got zero support. But they were telling us what was coming, and here it is. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on VCY America.
Hello, I'm Brannon House. Are you concerned about the current financial state of not only America, but the world? Are you concerned about, well, the enslavement that can come to you through a digital currency where they can track every movement, every transaction, or turn you off? How about the merging of a digital economy with a social credit score? We saw through the COVID tyranny just how tyrannical our government can be to those who love liberty and freedom, to small business owners as well as large business owners, to the invasion of privacy. If you're looking for a way to secure your financial future, well, can I recommend you get the free packet of information from Wes Peters at Swiss America? We've been working with Swiss America for over 16 years as a sponsor of our radio shows, our TV shows, and our conferences, our free Worldview Weekend rallies we held all over America. Again, we've been working with them for over 16 years. In fact, Wes Peters shows up at our national conference at the Ozarks almost every year, and he sits and has meals and visits with many of our attendees who are now his clients. That speaks volumes, doesn't it? Well, I don't give financial advice, but I do give financial opinion. And I believe you should call Swiss America right now and get their free, no-obligation packet of information. In fact, you don't even have to call. You can actually text Wes Peters right on his cell phone. Give him your name and mailing address and let him know you would like the free, no-obligation packet of information mentioned by Brandon House. You can text him at 602-558-8585. That's 602-558-8585. I'll give that again if you want to get a pen and piece of paper. Remember, when you get this packet of information, here's what I would recommend. Go through it. Write down all your questions. And then after you've thoroughly researched the information he sent you, then you can call him back up, set up a time and an appointment to visit with him, and have all your questions answered. Do your due diligence. Do your homework. There is no template for every person. Every person is in a separate situation, right? So, my friends, do your homework and then ask a lot of questions. Once you're satisfied with all of your homework, then you can make a decision that is best for you. Again, it starts, I think, though, with getting that free packet of information. No obligation. Just simply text him your name and address. He'll send it on its way. And you'll get to learn the difference between bullion, freshly minted silver coins or gold coins, and what is known as numismatic, 1933 and older. You can learn about how to put gold in your IRA. These are questions, again, that you can get answered through that packet of information and conversations with Wes Peters at Swiss America. So again, just simply text him your name and address, 602-558-8585, 602-558-8585, and that free packet of information will be on its way. Thanks.